a recovered alcoholic, and I'm God's showing me the chaos creating. I'm in a workshop right now that we are in steps 10, 11, and 12. So I got two different messages from Amy about what to share on, but I ran with the physical craving one because I love that part of our program and being able to understand that part of our program. I'm going to start with how I found BBA. I was absolutely spinning out of control. I had 23 years clean from alcohol, and I had 17 years clean from sugar and flour, and I was still a mess. A girlfriend came to me, actually as a girlfriend that's probably tired of hearing me whine. Anna, there's this lady at my AA meeting on Thursday night. She's different. She's different from everybody else. I'm like, okay. And then she starts telling me about, she's working the big book a different way from anything I've ever seen. Now, mind you, this girlfriend's got a lot more sobriety than me. She said, but she's just different. She's on fire. And the next thing I know, my girlfriend's asking me, do you want to drive up to that lady's house once a week with me? She wants us to come do a workshop with her. She's going to show us what she's doing. Well, she was doing the BBA, and she was working it like I've never seen anybody sponsor and work a program like this lady. We walked in her house. The whole back of her house was signed. People had signed on her walls, girls that she had brought off the streets and taken through this way of life. And she let them all sign her walls. So there were hundreds of thank yous and signatures on the walls where we would meet every week. But that was my introduction to BBA. And she's the one that first told me about the new meetings. And I remember going to those thinking, oh my God, I have arrived. All my life, I spent a lot of years trying to figure out why I was angry and why am I still angry? I've done the steps. I've done them over and over and over. And I couldn't figure out why I was still angry. Well, after doing the work the BBA way, I understand why I was angry. I was angry because I was still afraid. I'll give you a quick, I don't want to spend much time in my background because it is not real pretty. God has given me over the years enough program and enough of him that I've lived a life, but it's been very chaotic in my head. My first 12-step meeting was in my early 20s. It was Overeaters Anonymous meeting. I knew from a really young age that I had a terrible problem with the binge eating. And those people at the Overeaters Anonymous meeting were talking about God. Well, I was so mad at God by then. I didn't want any part of that. So I didn't darken the door of another 12-step meeting until Al-Anon when I was 30. I had married the same husband twice and was getting ready to divorce him the second time when I started going to Al-Anon. So I had Al-Anon. I did Adult Children of Alcoholics because I felt real comfortable in those meetings. I was raised in a shame-based home of food addicts and love addicts. My father was a gambling addict. It's just a very confusing household. They'd make us go to church three times a week and the pieces didn't fit. Anyway, so I found a home at Adult Children of Alcoholics for a while. I think I was always looking for 12-step meetings where I could blame everybody else but myself for my sickness. So I did Adult Children of Alcoholics, Al-Anon, Overeaters Anonymous again. Then I ended up at AA. And I was real comfortable in those meetings for well, I can't say I was real comfortable, but I stayed there for the 18 years that we were living in Phoenix. And I got a sponsor in that program after 8 years that helped me with my food addiction and helped me see the sugar addiction. Anyway, I stayed clean in that program, but I never felt comfortable in those meetings. I always wanted to talk about the food addiction and the solution to that. And like I said, I never really felt comfortable in meetings until I got to the noon meeting where you guys were talking about all of your addictions. And it was like somebody opened a whole new door for me. And doing the workshop with this lady up in Tucson, I remember my, my first aha moment was, I'm going to say what was going on in my life at the time when I started that workshop. My husband and I had retired to Southern Arizona. We live in Paradise, and I was as miserable as I've ever been. I wasn't sleeping. I was just letting other people control my life. My mode of operation all my life was to make everybody happy. If I can make everybody happy, then I'll be happy. So for a whole lifetime, I felt responsible for people and their happiness. And I'm the controller fixer that doesn't do so much outside to control and fix. I try to fix people in my head. So I have that obsession. And by the time I got to that workshop, I had ended up in I'm a musician. I had ended up in a group that really didn't have a leader, and they kind of appointed me the leadership, but they wanted to teach me how to lead. I was so sick. It was awful in my codependent behaviors in that group. So I'm so grateful to the lady that that did the workshop with us. There was one amends that actually I was not to my amends yet. I was in the fourth step where I remember when we turned that page and she asked me that question, when have you done that behavior to other people? She says, it may not look like this guy is doing to you. She said, but you've done that behavior to someone else in your life. And it was my aha moment of starting to realize how I had run on myself well all my life, from the time I was traumatized when I was 3 and a half by a grandfather. And that's where the obsessions start. And in listening, we did the steps. That workshop was on alcoholism. But when I started going to the new meeting and started hearing you guys talking about the adrenaline highs, that was another aha moment for me too, because I'd had people all my life tell me, well, why don't you just quit doing that? And I didn't realize why I didn't just quit doing that. You know, everything I'd ever tried to make my life better was, I realized now, was self-reliance failed me. You know, all the diets, just everything, all the self-help, all the 12-step meetings, None of it was helping me. I was still very angry. So you guys started teaching me about that, the physical craving for that adrenaline. And I realized today that adrenaline was my gateway drug. It's the first thing I felt that at 3 and a half when I was traumatized. And I can see, looking back on my life, that it led me into the food addiction. It led me into the dope smoking, the drinking. It led me into that life of addiction. So it was my gateway drug. And I can see today that that it is, I get a high from it. And I never could see that before. The physical part of that is, and I learned this from a sponsee, we get the adrenaline high, and then our body helps us overcome that. It puts out a burst of insulin after we, when we start coming down from the adrenaline high. So I think for me, it's always about the sugar. Anyway, I'm gonna read some out of the book because I love our book. Our book describes me really well. I'm gonna start because our pages are different. Mine are numbered different from what you guys may have, but my page number is the 26th Roman numeral. But for some of you, it may be, I don't know, maybe 30. I don't know. I know my pages are four pages off, but I am the third page from the end of the chapter of the doctor's opinion is where I'm going to read from. And it talks about, you know, the book talks about alcoholics, but for me, it's about the adrenaline high and all of my addictions. For the one symptom that we all have, and I'm on page, like I said, I'm 26 of my Roman numerals, but the paragraph starts with all these. So it says, all these and many others have one symptom in common. They cannot start drinking without developing the phenomenon of craving. This phenomenon, as we have suggested, may be the manifestation of an allergy, which differentiates these people and sets them apart as a distinct entity. It has never been by any treatment with which we are familiar permanently eradicated. The only relief we have to suggest is entire abstinence. When I quit the sugar and flour, I got a real clear message from God about the allergy and the fact that the allergic reaction is the cravings. God made that real clear to me at that time. But I'm just now in the last 3.5 years since I've been in BBA, am I understanding this craving that I have for the adrenaline? And the fact that it is an allergy. Anyway, this immediate, I'm going to go on to the next paragraph. This immediately precipitates us into a seething cauldron of debate. Much has been written pro and con, but among physicians, the general opinion seems to be that most chronic alcoholics are doomed. Well, I think I've been doomed to the high that I get off adrenaline. I can't tell you, even in my early being sober days, I used to do the same behaviors over and over and over and feel so remorseful. I think one of these next paragraphs talks about the remorse. See if I can find it. I don't see it right now, but I used to get embarrassed with my husband about how many times I had to say I'm sorry to him. So it just gets to be really old behavior. Anyway, I did the workshop in the alcoholism. I did a workshop because I love the BBA and I wanted to learn how to teach it to other people. I got in a food addicts workshop, and the whole time I was in that, I didn't think I belonged there. And I finally got into a chaos creating workshop. You know what I see about BBA is, I think for me, no matter which addiction I do the workshops in, It all brings me back to what you guys have taught me about the answer to all of it is God and being on my knees to God. And until BBA, I never did a 10th step, 10 or 11. I mean, I would do them here and there, but on a regular basis as a discipline, I never did that. And that part of BBA has changed my life. So I want to talk about the good stuff that's happened since I got in BBA and since I started doing two-way prayer. Two-way prayer, I learned that early on when I had a come-to-Jesus moment when I first started going to Al-Anon when I was 30. We were in with a group of people that were similar to the Oxford group. If you guys know who they are, they're the ones that they actually were the people who our program was born from, a group called the Oxford group. And that's where our steps originated from. So when I first had that spiritual moment, when I started going to Al-Anon at 30, I was with a Christian group that practiced two-way prayer. So like I said, God, you know, over my lifetime, God has given me enough of him and enough program and enough Christian disciplines that I've lived a really good life. And I am my biggest enemy. So I have learned that too. But the tools of BBA, like that fear grid, when I get to the end of all my fears and realize, you know, I've just been trying to run my own life. I've had God since I was 30, and I started back to church at that point. And I have played either by myself or with musical groups at church since I was 30. And I didn't realize until BBA and doing two-way prayer, and I didn't even really realize until I started in the chaos creating workshop this year of why God created me. I knew that he had given me a gift and I've used that gift over the years, but I never realized that that was my calling. So in realizing that, it's helped me relax a lot and to not be afraid so much. And anytime, you know, my ego rebuilds all the time, but I can't tell you that I'm cured from the chaos creating. All I can tell you is that it's a lot better than it's been in my whole life. Amy, I see your face again, and I forgot to turn my timer on. Am I close?
Two minutes. I was just going to try to give you a little reminder.
That is so cute. No, that's fine. But what God has brought me to realize that he's called me to three things, and he's made it very clear. The first one is my music, because that's how I worship him. And he makes that so easy. I can stand in front of a group of 100 people or 1,000 people and sing the music he's given me and never be afraid, ever. So the gifts that he's given me are my music, my marriage. When I came into Al-Anon 30 years ago, I had enough program under my belt that I was in a good space with God at that time, and he gave me a beautiful husband. We've been married 39 years. And why he stayed with me, I will never know. So my gifts are music and my marriage and my art. And today, you know, because I'm real good to go off on tangents, and part of my adrenaline high is to get started on projects or to start with a new relationship, friendship And my only gauge today is to, when I am in two-way prayer, ask God, does this fall into the gifts that you've given me? And do you want me to do this? And if it doesn't, then I try really hard not to do that anymore. And I just keep asking for his help. God, please help me stay in this parameter that you've given me and help me not create chaos in my life. And I still do it. My most recent one was I was driving 30 minutes to an Al-Anon meeting every time I go, I felt like I didn't fit in there. I finally told my girlfriend, because I thought I was supporting her. She started the meeting. I'm not going to be coming anymore because God has told me that's not where I belong. And it was like taking a load of bricks off my shoulders. I went back to the Vienna meeting where I felt really comfortable. So I feel most comfortable in these BBA meetings where you guys are telling me your stories about how you get close to God. Because I had a God when I got here, but I wasn't trusting him. I was worshiping him, but when things came up in my life, I was always trying to fix it myself. Well, I can't do that anymore. And he's showing me that. So right now I'm in a stage of being bored sometimes, which is very different for me, but that's how he's getting my attention right now. He tells me, you need to be bored. I want you to sit with me for a while. So I'm learning to do that. I have a quiet time every morning and I write to him and sit and listen. And I have a prayer group that he's created for me. It's a group of generational women. I'm an eldest, and then there's the empty nester, and then we have one that's got young children. We share our two-way prayers that we've written out during the week. We share those with each other one day a week. We have an hour that's set aside for that. So I play for three masses every weekend. I lead worship music at masses. And that's what he's called me to do. And it's easy. And I love every minute of it. And I love coming to these meetings. And I love listening to you guys and how you're finding God through these steps and these tools in this book. So thanks for asking me to speak.
Thank you, Anna. That was brilliant. We'll stop the recording now. Just want to remind people that we only record our speaker. We don't